Now, with that thought, we're going to continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week, we looked at this chapter from God's perspective. And we learned that the perfect love described in this chapter, in the Greek, it is called agape love. It is the perfect love. It is love that God has. It is the love God is. 1 Corinthians 13, chapter 4. Love suffers long, is patient, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This is the love God is, and this is the love God has for every person on the planet. As believers, we must embrace this truth. Don't doubt it. Don't question it. Don't fear that it's going to fail, because it says love never fails. When that little voice, the enemy comes and says, you're unworthy, of course we are. That doesn't matter to God. He loves us anyway. When we fail and the voice is there saying, don't even think about going back to God. He's fed up with you. He's done with you. I pray that these verses come to your mind and flood your heart, that he's patient, is kind. He's not fed up with you. This is who God is, and this is the love God has for us. We must believe in this. We must embrace it and walk in it, because in our walk with Christ, we're going to fail. And if his love failed, then we could get really depressed, and we could end up failing and never returning to God. But because his love never fails, and it's so perfect, that when we fail, we can get back up with God, believing he's still going to be there with us and walk with us, and we can continue. This agape love. That was God's perspective. This week, we're into the human perspective, a little closer to home, our perspective on this. You see, this love, this agape love, when I say our perspective, it's not meaning human-wise, I say human perspective, but it's not for all humans. What I'm going to talk about today is not for everybody. It's not even for all believers. It's supposed to be. Our perspective today is for those who have been born again in Jesus Christ and who are going to seek Christ with a full heart. This perspective today will come true in your life. It will not be easy. This agape love of God, this perfect love, is not just for us to receive, to be blessed by. There's actually more to it than that. Go to John 13, 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. He says a new commandment. I mean, from the Old Testament, the Bible has always said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. So what does he mean? What does Jesus mean here when he says, a new commandment I give to you, to love one another? Does anyone understand why he so calls it a new commandment? Okay, you're on the right track. Those three words there, love, 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 is agape love. You understand here? Jesus has given us not a suggestion. He's commanding us, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Those are his followers who have been saved by the blood. a new commandment to love as God loves. Agape love, perfect love. You see, many Christians love and are kind people, but they love with a human love, maybe even a Christian version of love, but many fall short of agape love. Again, like I said, only those believers who choose discipleship and sanctification will actually be able to fulfill this commandment, this new commandment given to us by Christ. Now, if it's a commandment given to us by our Lord, and we fail to fulfill this commandment, that is rebellion, is it not? That means that's sin. So the truth we're going to learn today in our perspective is very, very hard and tough. But it's something we must understand. We've been given a commandment to agape love others. That perfect love. So how can we, humans, who are all far from perfect, I mean, is there any perfect person in here? You raise your hands so we know? Okay, good. Close. We're all far from perfect. And we're supposed to love perfectly like God? That's humanly impossible. I'm not countering the word of God here. But by human abilities and standards, it is impossible to complete this new commandment Christ has given us. But for those who choose to trust God and seek Him with a full heart, believing in what He says in His Word, that with God, all things are possible. To accomplish this, we must look to the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, Holy Spirit comes into our lives. He produces these things if we open our life to Him, every aspect of it. He'll produce this fruit in us. Does that fruit remind you of anything? What? What kind of love? It's agape love right here. Go to the next slide. The green is in the fruit of the Spirit. The black is the perfect love of God, 1 Corinthians 13. Love. Of course, if you love, you're not going to be doing evil. You're not going to be doing evil to people. Joy is fruit of the Spirit. Love does not envy. You see, when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you're joyful with what you have in Christ, who you are. You don't envy anybody else because you have Christ. You're filled with joy. You have no time to envy. Peace. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. You don't have to show off because you're at peace with who you are in Christ. Long-suffering, patient. Love suffers long. Kindness. Love is kind. Goodness. Love does not behave rudely. The fruit of the Spirit. You're filled with all the goodness of Christ. You're not going to be rude to people. You're going to do good to others. Faithfulness. Love does not seek its own. When you're filled with the fruit of the Spirit, you're faithful to the cause of Christ. Life is no longer about you, it is about Him. Gentleness. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but in truth. The Bible tells us to share the truth, all the truth, the whole counsel of God's Word, but we don't share it on the attack. We don't try to share it trying to win an argument. We don't do it in a rude manner. He says for us to do it with humbleness and gentleness. Self-control. Love is not provoked. We're under the control of the Holy Spirit. We'll respond in ways that are God-honoring, not honoring the flesh. You see, if the fruit of the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit full reign in our lives, we will bear all things. We will believe all things. We will hope all things. And we will endure all things. Because our love is from God. And through the Holy Spirit, our love will not fail. Go back to Galatians 5, verse 22. Now that we understand the fruit of the Spirit is producing agape love in us, what must we do to have the fruit of the Spirit evident in our lives? It just doesn't happen overnight. It isn't there as soon as you get saved. Fruit. How many of you guys have fruit trees in your yards? How many of you cultivate your fruit trees? Nobody. Anybody? I got one in the back. Oh, you? Okay, so most of you let nature take its course. And there's fruit, great. Have you ever had summers where there was no fruit? Oh, okay. What about you that cultivate? You always got good fruit? Usually. So Gordon's better at it than you. Okay. All right, so we got two that cultivate and many that don't. But those that are in the profession of growing fruit, they cultivate their trees to produce fruit and more fruit. It is very similar to us as Christians. The Holy Spirit comes into our lives. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit when we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus Christ. When we have that moment with God when we're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in, we're sealed. The Spirit sets up shop in us and he wants to start changing us from the inside out. And he wants this fruit to appear, this agape love. But we have to cultivate it. We have to be active in our relationship with God. So, looking at this, go to the next list. I went online and did some research. And I found the top things for proper cultivating the fruit trees. Good soil, good sunlight, watering, fertilizer, pest control, pruning. I want to examine these real quick this morning. Because these are things that we need to apply to our lives in a spiritual aspect. So let's start with the good soil. Jesus talked about good soil. Matthew 13. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. The wayside, this in the Greek here, the ground here is beat down. It has been walked upon. It is hard on the surface. And when the seed, the word of God, the truth falls on it, maybe these people have been hurt so much, they've just been abused, they're just so filled with sin, their heart is hard, and it cannot penetrate. Then things in this world steal the truth away. Those are the seeds that fell by the wayside. Verse 5, some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Stony places here, the Greek is not talking about stones all through the ground. It is talking about a layer of rock with a little bit of soil on top of it. Enough soil for things to start to take root and sprout up, but once the sun comes out, that little bit of soil can't maintain the moisture and it dries up. Because that rock layer. You see, some people will accept things about truth about God, but they're only going to go so far. They're only going to let that truth penetrate so far. They won't let it fully penetrate and change who they are. So in the beginning, they're on fire for God and excited, but in time it goes away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. The thorns are the cares of this world. Because they're a believer, the cares of this world consume them, so they don't seek God like they're supposed to. They don't seek the Word, and their growth is stunted. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I mean, there's spiritual truth here. The good ground, a heart that is humble. First, humble enough to hear the gospel that says you're a sinner and you're separated from God and God will judge all sin. You have no hope. But he loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. that if we repent of our sins, if we realize we're a sinner, we need a Savior, desperate need of a Savior, at a moment that we understand this, we'll want to turn from our sinful ways, and we put our turn to Christ, and we call out on Christ. And whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. With the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. At a moment when we call out to God in faith of his death, burial, and resurrection to pay for our sins. First, you have to have a heart that's humble enough to do that, a good soil. The gospel truth can come in and take root. Then that heart needs to continue to be good soil. It continues to want to receive truth more and more from God's word and to live by it, to be obedient to it. So first, needs to be good soil. The heart needs to be ready. Go back to our list. The second one is good sunlight. Every tree needs to receive the light of the sun. Just as believers, we need to receive the light of truth from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Matthew 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Who's the righteousness? It's Christ. The righteousness that he bestows upon us. And all these things will be added to you. A believer must seek to know Christ. And it begins as Savior. That's how our relationship with Christ begins. He's our Savior. Then we learn and hopefully humble enough to understand that he is Lord. He's owner, master. He's purchased us with a heavy price. We surrender to him, the Savior, and his Lord. And then there's another category. There's one other category that we can get to. It's God taking us there, and it's up to God to define this category. Because from Scripture, there's not many people that have made it to this category. But in our personal relationship, it starts as Savior and Lord. There's a category called friend. Now, we can't claim that title for ourselves. I, as a Christian, would never say, I'm the friend of God. But God, two different places, in the Old Testament, Abraham, in the New Testament, with the disciples, he says, I no longer call you servants, but my friends. Now, he didn't say that to all believers. He said it to the disciples, those who had left everything, those who were sold out to him. They weren't perfect, but boy, they loved him. They were going to make their mistakes and fail, but they were going to serve him with a full heart. He classified them as friends. Now, it's up to God to classify who's friends and who's not. There are many who are Christians, but not all Christians become disciples. There's a difference. And here, we are to seek Christ, and not just as Savior, not just as Lord, but we are to seek to serve him that maybe one day he would classify us as his friend, someone who he completely trusts, one person who loves him, person filled with his agape love. We must seek Christ. We must seek that truth, that light of truth from the Son of God. Go back to our list. Good soil, good sunlight, good watering. Fruit trees need lots of water. Same as Christians. But our watering is different. It's the Word of God. Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse her, the church, us, with the washing of water by the Word. That he might present her to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That is sanctification. It says sanctify them and cleanse them. Sanctification is the process of the Holy Spirit. Take coming into a person's life when they repent. Working on them, changing them to where they're holy, they're set apart for God, and they're without blemish. Sin becomes, they never become sinless and perfect, but we start sinning a lot less. At least I hope we do. As a Christian today, I sin a lot less than I used to as a sinner 20 years ago, wherever it's been now. Sanctify. How does the Holy Spirit do this? John 17:17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's alive. It's not just a book. Yes, it's in a book format. But these words are life. The Holy Spirit takes these words, penetrates into the very heart of a person. Restores the soul. It renews the mind. Sanctifies us. It's amazing. Transforms us into the image of Christ. Holy and without blemish. Producing the fruit of the Spirit. Producing agape love in us. Let's go back to the list. Good soil, sunlight, watering, fertilizer. How many of you fertilize? Gord, you guys fertilize? How's that fertilizer smell? Stinks. It's something extra that you add to the soil to help the tree. But it stinks. We need good fertilizer as Christians, as believers, as disciples. There's something that needs to be added to our walk of faith with Christ, our search through the scriptures with him. There's something now that needs to be added. The Bible tells us to add good works to our faith, to put our faith into action. And sometimes some of the things God asks us to do stinks. Ask Jonah. They're hard. Not all. Some are awesome. Some are great. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." You see, we have to learn, even though maybe we were humble enough to accept Christ, now we must be humble enough to serve God and to serve others. Esteeming others better than ourselves. Learning to love the unlovable. Learning to serve God and others. Serving in the church. This morning, all of us have an opportunity to serve God here this morning. Did we come here to encourage others? To lift others up? We have a chance to serve almost every day. You see, the Word of God will grow faith. It'll be the sanctification process. But we have to now add good works. Not trying to earn God's favor, we already have that. Not trying to earn salvation, we already have that. But for us to truly understand God, who is the greatest servant of all, we must learn to serve, to better connect with him. Some will just take the route of, well, I'm just going to take knowledge in. I don't want to serve. Okay? Well, you were kind of on the right path, but now you've strayed. You will not have agape love produced in your life. Some say, well, I'll just go do good works. I'll just do a bunch of good works, but I don't want to study the Bible. Okay? Well, you will not fulfill the commandment to love with agape love. It takes the path of discipleship. And part of the path of discipleship is serving one another. You know, the good fertilizer, serving and learning to be used by God in ministry and every day trying to encourage, be an encouragement to others, it adds a factor to your walk with God that nothing else can replace. God working in you and doing the good through you, but you experiencing. But sometimes, you know, it's hard what he asks us to do. Sometimes it stinks. Oh, the benefit, the fruit that will be produced. So let's go back to the list. So we got good soil, sunlight, watering, fertilizer, pest control. Oh, little fruit flies and bugs. Have you ever entered into California from another state? What do they do at the border? They inspect, and what do they ask you? Do you bring in any fruit? What do they care? Bugs. Even the smallest of bugs. And tiny little things. They say if even one gets in, it can destroy the whole California crop. That's a pretty big pest. You know, as Christians, we got to have pest control because there's a lot of pests. And I'm talking about the spiritual kind. The enemy. You know, in the military, we have what we call FOBs. They're forward operating bases. And they're usually out into enemy territory. We've had them in Afghanistan and Iraq, FOBs. And when you set up a FOB, the enemy is around you, 360 degrees. So you set up your perimeter defenses. And, you know, you have on the outer part of the perimeter, you'll have your landmines, your claymore mines. You tangle your concertina wire, all sorts of little obstacles for the enemy to not to be able to penetrate. And then inside of that, you set up your machine gun, your automatic weapons. You crisscross the fields of fire all around the base. So that any enemy approaches that base and tries to infiltrate, they will be killed. The enemy will always probe your defenses. Always looking to see if, did you miss one area? Even if it's a small area, did you miss it where they can sneak in. And if you overlook just even one area in your perimeter, the enemy will find it, exploit it, and you'll get killed. It's the same with Christians. Your whole life may be really sold out to God. You may really be walking with God and doing a great job, but you've left one area of your life and you won't surrender it to God. That's yours. Oh, you got the full armor of God on except for this one place. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your entertainment. Maybe it's personal relationships, unforgiveness. There could be numerous things it could be. One area that you're holding on to, you won't let go. You won't trust God with this. The enemy will find that one area in you, Christian. And that little pest will come in to kill, steal, and destroy your fruit of the Spirit. Pest control. John 15 says this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Oop, I skipped one. Ephesians 6, go back. There we go. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. We must be protected. We must be in Christ. We must allow the Holy Spirit in every aspect of our life. We must surrender everything to Him to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Or some pest, some little sin will get in and destroy the fruit. Don't fool yourselves that you can be mostly sold out to God and keep something in to yourself. It just won't work. not saying you won't be a believer. That's we're not our salvation is not based on our works. It's based on complete God's grace. But you will not be able to fulfill the commandment to agape love. You won't. The enemy will make sure that's destroyed. Now let's go back to the list. Now we get on the final one. Good pruning. Gordon, you're pruned. Do you prune the trees? Son does. Because you're not tall enough, right? Yeah, I'm supposed to be on a ladder. Is there good pruning and bad pruning? What happens when, oh yes. What happens when you, does your son do bad pruning? Did? So what happened when he did bad pruning? What kind of fruit does it produce? No, what kind? It's quality. Bad pruning? Gordon? Are there times when if bad pruning, can it stop fruit from even being produced? Kill your tree. Okay. So pruning needs to be done with some knowledge, with some expertise. Yes. Now, if you were a tree, Gordon, put yourself in the... I mean, you were a pagan. You used to worship trees, right? He was. I'm not exaggerating. Gordon was out there. Okay? Pretend you were the tree. You used to do that, right? And I came up with some pruning, whatever they're called, shears. And I... What is it? A whopper? So that's a hamburger, man. I know my hamburgers. All right, some pruning tools. I don't know. I don't trust these guys. And I started cutting limbs. How would you feel? I mean, literally, if the tree could scream, it probably would scream if it could actually feel. Because that's pretty rough, pruning. But if it's done correctly, it'll produce a stronger tree and a better fruit harvest, right? Okay. Same spiritually with us Christians. John 15, the one I just tried to read a second ago. Now is the correct time to read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is starting to produce in your life as you walk with Christ, as you grow in faith. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Pruning. Thank goodness God is the pruner, so we can trust. He's got all the expertise and knowledge. But pruning can hurt. Pruning can be difficult in a life as you seek Christ. God may use circumstances in your life and maybe use a storm in your life, a trial in your life, or he just may put you in places that you feel so uncomfortable. Pruning is the process of God revealing to us things about us that aren't too pleasant, that he wants to remove from our lives, things that we must surrender to him, so we can better follow him and serve him, better that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit so we can produce the fruit of the Spirit, agape love. Pruning hurts. But like the psalmist said in Psalms 1, blessed is the man, the woman, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, the word of God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You know, pruning sometimes is not literally done to us. It is. Many things in our lives will change. Pruning could be also cutting things out of your life that are brought to you, brought into your life by others. Blessed is the man, the woman, who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Not that we have to break away from all ungodly friends, unbelieving friends, but some, you know what's so bad? I used to be this person. Some friends seek to destroy your faith. I know of a young Christian man, Sergeant Ferrix. He was a godly young Marine. And I was Sergeant Ulmer at the time, and he lived his faith even in the Marine Corps. And, you know, I classified myself as a Christian, but I wasn't. I made that man's life terrible. I persecuted him. His love, his gentleness, his kindness. It was weakness to me. Marines, we're not kind. We're not weak. So I persecuted him. Mocked his faith. I tried to bring ungodly influences in him to corrupt him. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, you know. Get rid of people like myself previously, who I was. Don't let people like that into your life. Nor stands in the path of sinners, those who are just embracing sin. You'll get sucked in. You got to be very, very careful who you hang out with as a believer. Not that you break all ties with sinners. No, we don't. We want to love them. We want to stay connected to them. But you don't let people who are sinful into your inner circle. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Well, you see a lot of that, especially in churches, the one place it shouldn't be. We should be filled with the fruit of the Spirit, the agape love, the joy, the peace. But have you ever been around Christians who are always negative and complaining and scornful and just bitter and unhappy? Or has it just been me? I like to be around Christians who are excited about God. About what they've read in the Word or what God has done in their life, or I love to hear a good testimony. And I want to be around people who love God and are filled with His joy. Not that, you know, they're just happy 24/7, but there's a consistent joy and encouraging spirit about them. They don't want to complain and talk about people and gossip. No, who's got time for that? Let's talk about God. Let's praise Him. Let's exalt His name amongst ourselves. Let's encourage one another. So this part of pruning is there's things that about you God will reveal that need to be surrendered to Him, but there's also maybe things in your life that you need to have cut away. Let's go back to the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5. Now that we understand what the Spirit can produce in us, He can, it's possible. His fruit, the agape love. Now, it won't be easy. It won't be easy. This is going to be the hardest thing we ever do in life. But it's the most important thing because we've been commanded to love with agape love. And if we try to counterfeit it with human love or Christian religious love, it's going to fail. And we're going to be held accountable for that. I'm going to talk about that next week. We must fulfill this commandment. It's possible if we will truly surrender to Christ. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Because He gave His life, His full life. He's just asking us to serve Him, to seek Him, to follow Him. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that is what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? For us to love as He loves. This can only happen when we become living sacrifices to Him. Sacrificing by seeking and obeying Christ, what he says in his word. Sacrificing by seeking the word through personal study. Sacrificing by learning to serve others. Serve in the church. Sacrificing by not allowing the flesh to rule in our lives, but the Holy Spirit of God. To become a living sacrifice will demand a life transformation. If you're holding on any of the old self, the old nature, you've got to let it go. Why hold on to it? It's disgusting. It's ugly. We have to have the highest dedication to seek Christ. Now, not many Christians are willing to be this dedicated or to go this far in the faith. They're just not. But they must understand. God knows the difference between agape love and human love. And if we refuse to go down the path of sanctification and discipleship, we will be in rebellion to God's new commandment. That is sinful. Many want to take an easier path of religion. Give me a simple checklist of good deeds for me to do each day so I can look at myself and go, I'm a pretty good Christian. You see, a checklist is not the path of sanctification. A checklist produces believers who are, in general, joyless. They're not full of joy. They may have joy at a time, but it's not consistent. Many times these kind of people are hypocrites. They're judgmental. They're legalistic. And they can be traditionalists. And the path of religion cannot produce agape love. It just can't. And since their love is not produced by the Holy Spirit, their love is, it fails many times. It's selective in who it's going to love. It's a cheap counterfeit for agape love. And because this has happened, and it continues to happen in the church, and we know it is because it's going to continue to happen all the way, you know, the seven churches in the book of Revelation. How many of the seven did God not have a problem with? Two. Persecuted and the faithful. The other five, he had major issues with them. You see, if we all took this path of discipleship, the church would all be faithful. And no one could say anything with any sort of truth that was negative about us. But that's not the case. Let me introduce you to a man named George Bernard Shaw. Any of you guys know him? There are many men like him all through history. We have him today with us. But you know what George Bernard Shaw famously said? Christianity might be a good thing if anyone ever tried it. And I say, well, that's pretty arrogant. Yeah, it is. And who is he to judge us? But he's got a point here. Because there are a lot of Christians who are not filled with agape love. There are a lot of Christians who are hypocrites. There are a lot of Christians who are just Christian by name only. And so there are people out there that look at us and see the hypocrisy. They see, you know, it's very clear that the Christian faith is described beautifully in this book. But many times our Christian faith doesn't match the book. We kind of make up our own Christianity. We pick and choose from here. So it's not hard for people looking and saying, no, you guys are a bunch of hypocrites. And sometimes the accusation is very true. The bad thing is there will always be some that are faithful. There always has been. And sometimes, you know, maybe someone like Mr. Shaw here should have looked a little deeper because there was a man he could have gone to. A man named Robert Cleaver Chapman. Not yet. Robert R.C. Chapman was his name. He was a preacher, evangelist, missionary. He's born in 1803 and died in 1902. People are still studying this man's life. For it was said by all those who knew him. Not by him, but by those who knew him. Sitting down with R.C. Chapman was like sitting down with Jesus Christ himself. Now, that's not a blasphemous statement. What they were saying was, he was so filled with Christ. His love, this man, when you study his life, you read his what people wrote about him and what he did, you're just like, wow. R.C. Chapman was the man. A servant beyond servants. Reading his book that was written about him was, when I read it, I was like, I want to be like him. I think we should all strive to be like him. And so I want to share some quotes with you from R.C. Chapman as we close. The first one. Now, there are many who proclaim Christ, he said, but not many who live Christ. My great aim will be to live Christ. It's easy to talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? If you seek, God's given us everything we need, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, his forgiveness, his love. We can do this. But we have to take the path that he has laid out, the path of sanctification and discipleship. He also said, God is love. His children please him only so far as they are like him and walk in love. I'm going to go through these quick because I'm going to finish on time this morning. Next one, without the word of God and the Holy Spirit, there can be no victory. Only the word of God feeds the Christian and causes growth. Only the word of God protects the believer from the attacks of Satan. Only the word leads the believer to higher and better ground, maturing as a believer, overcoming the old self. It's all based on the word of God because it's alive and powerful. And when the Holy Spirit puts that word to God, it comes to life in us. It changes who we are. The next statement. It is one thing to read the Bible, choosing something that suits me. Pastor, just tell me something about myself. Give me some encouraging words. Just kind of, you know, make it about what we want it to be about. Make us feel good. Tickle our ears, Pastor. It is one thing to read the Bible, choosing something that suits me, as is shamefully said. And another thing, to search it that I may become acquainted with God and Christ. And that's what the Bible's about. It's about changing us. It's not about making us feel good. It's not about, you know, tickling our ears. It's not about telling us untruths about, you know, if you do this, you'll become prosperous and healthy and blah, blah, blah. It's about knowing God. This is how he introduces himself, and we get to know who he is. The next one. Without knowing what the Bible says, it is impossible to live Christ. That is true. Think about this. I know Randy knows this, because I've asked him this number several times. Not because he's in that number, but he's just, Randy, how many Christians don't read their Bibles today? 82%. I'm sure most of you know that because I've said it, I don't know how many times. I agree with Robert Chapman here. Without knowing what the Bible says, it is impossible to live Christ. So 82% of American Christians inside the church are not living for Christ. Oh, they've come up with some sort of cheap substitute. They're fooling themselves that they are. But without the Bible, you can't live Christ. Look at the next one. It is blessed to eat into the very soul of the Bible until the very essence of the Bible flows from you. Do you think R.C. Chapman had a high regard for the Bible? A love for it? And because of that, he was known as a man so filled with Christ, people felt like they were visiting with Christ. Do you make the connection? The Word of God is everything to us. Next one. Harriet Evans said this, "I found beloved R.C. all that he ever was and more. More like Christ, more self-denying, gentle, and full of love." Oh, one day maybe it'd be awesome to see if someone could say that about me. I don't know. The next one. Excuse me. Our joy in Christ speaks a language that all hearts can understand and is a testimony for him, such as mere knowledge can never give. Remember those who said they were just going to take knowledge and not serve? There's a joy in serving. There's a joy in learning to serve others. And when it all comes together and it testifies. The next one. My business is to love others, not to seek that others shall love me. Real love does not seek or need a response. Remember we were talking about that last week with God? Even if people reject him, he still loves them? Wow. And finally, the original one. There are many who proclaim Christ, but not many who live Christ. My great aim will be to live Christ. Great man. 1 Corinthians 13. There it is, agape love, the perfect love of God. But also, from the human perspective, our perspective, it is love that is possible in us through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. We are commanded to love like this. It's not an option. Next week we will talk about this more in depth because I think this is one of the areas that we will be, that'll come up at the judgment seat of Christ. I almost guarantee you it is. I'll show you that next week. John 13:35. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love, agape love for one another. It starts here, amongst us. And then we can do it out there. It's a high calling. Let us all seek this calling together. Let us become a faithful body of believers. Can you imagine if this church, if all of us sought God with a full heart, if all of us were being sanctified and discipled, if all of us were allowing good pruning to be done to us, and this church became a church full of R.C. Chapman. What we could do. But when we replace this path that God has for us, for the fruit of the Spirit is replaced with just good works or Christian religion, we are falling short. We are actually in rebellion. And our works will be worthless. I'll go a little deeper into that next week. I say, we take this truth. We may not have understood this new commandment when we walked in here this morning, but now we do. There's no doubt. I think I've made it pretty clear. Okay. If we don't aim for this, then we're in rebellion. We're in sin. I know that's putting a hard, that's hard. But God can do this through us. The Holy Spirit can do it. But we must be willing to surrender to that Spirit. We must be willing to surrender. Let us embrace this. Let us learn to love like Christ. And then let us take that love to this world in truth and in righteousness. This is where we want to go. I hope everybody wants to go this way. Because that will glorify our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for your love, the perfect love. You are love. And Lord, as your disciples, we can be filled with your love. Many are Christians. They're They're believers in you. But a disciple is one who follows. A disciple is one who surrenders and yields to the Spirit. Dedicates their life, the life that you have given us, to serve you in whatever way pleases you. To fulfill your commandments. Lord, I pray that we will become a church that is filled with disciples. And the fruit of the Spirit will become our trademark. And our love will reign and never fail because it is your love being poured into us, overflowing through us to those around us. That we will keep your commandments. This new commandment to love as you love. And Lord, if we do that, we'll be a faithful church. We'll be a church that teaches the truth. We'll be light and we'll be salt, and we will help people come out of darkness. And Lord, there's people in darkness, not but 50 feet from this building right now. Lord, help us. Help us to be faithful. Help us to become loving. Help us to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. We pray this in your name. Amen.